Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 525, Slice of DLC, recorded live on January 28th, 2016. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And I'm Hoss.
And I'm GT.
And welcome back to another fun-filled episode that we're going to be talking about the January update, Infinity's Armory, that just dropped this past week. And it's been quite interesting so far. I've got to play on both maps so far, Riptide and the Warzone map, which I'm blanking on at the moment. But we have a special guest with us tonight. Heralding all the way over from Ultimate Halo now is Kenny. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good to be here.
Yay. We've been talking to you a little while about having you on the show. It's nice to have you finally on here.
I'm finally here. I made it.
Yes, you did.
I made it.
You've kind of jumped around a little bit.
Set for life.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, no. I've been busy, but... It's good to finally be here.
Yeah, you've jumped around quite a bit, as it seems.
Yes.
Yeah.
For better or worse, yeah. I'd say for better, actually.
Well, that's good.
No, yeah, I'm happy where I'm at.
Good. So, as you guys may have already noticed or may have already been playing, the Infinity Armory is live. It went live on Tuesday this week. Tends to be Tuesday that they drop these things. So we have Urban, which is the new Warzone Assault map. We have Riptide, which is the new Arena map. And then we have a laundry list full of wrecks, which we covered last week. And I've personally played...
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza. Oh, that wreck. There is quite a bit different on Urban when it comes to attacking or defending in Warzone Assault that I think is... pretty significantly different than the other Warzone Assault variants that we've had on there. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then Riptide is the new arena map, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But first, Kenny, since you are our guest tonight, and this is the first time you've been on Podtacular, we need to learn a little bit about you.
Are you going to ask the questions?
I am going to ask the questions. So why don't you go ahead and tell us how you got involved with Halo? What was the thing that got you... enticed into this wonderful franchise that we all love?
It's a dream come true. I guess back when I was like, I don't know, third grade, fourth grade, I don't know, when my uncle got an Xbox, the original Xbox, brought it home, set it up, and he had Halo on it. And I had no idea what it was, obviously, in third grade, probably a little bit less than the recommended age for mature. to play a mature video game, but I'd watch him, and you know, it was just interesting, to say the least. I'd like to watch and just, I don't know, video games were just pretty new to me, I guess, and it kind of just spiraled from there into this blur where I eventually got an Xbox 360 for Christmas, and that came with Halo 3. And then I randomly got Halo 2 just out of the blue, and I played those, and I was just so fascinated by the story and the fact that a video game could have such this deep universe. And that's kind of just where it's been for me. And then I got onto YouTube on my own old channel a while ago, probably 3 years ago or so, when I was 14. Very high voice. Not that it's any better now. But yeah, so then I think two months ago, probably a year ago, last February, I joined Ultimate Halo to make some videos, back when the channel had like 35,000 subscribers. And then I was there for about 5 months, and then I got onto Halo Follower in June. And then now I'm back on Ultimate Halo here in January. So it's been a pretty good ride, but I definitely love where I'm at.
Very nice. So what particular part of Halo really interests you the most now that you are kind of really into the thick of it?
I think it has to be the community. Not really, I guess that's kind of not really within the game, but I think the community that surrounds the game is really one of the main reasons why I love this community so much and Halo so much is because, you know, you have cosplayers and artists and animators making their own movies and even people trying to make their own Halo games. And I can't name pretty much any other franchise that has this diverse of a community, which, I mean, I think can only keep growing as years go on.
Cool. So you said you started off kind of making videos for Halo on your own channel. Now you're doing it back in Ultimate Halo. What kind of videos do you make or really like making?
I don't know. I guess I kind of just like, I mean, the main thing I do is I just cover Halo news and things like that on Ultimate Halo. I see Brayden in the chat there. He's one of my friends that used to work with me back on Follower. I like doing news videos, as well as a lot of community oriented videos as well. I used to have a show on Halo Follower called Halo Uplink, where I would feature tweets from the community, clips from the community, funny clips and things that happen in Halo, and even creations and art and things like that from the community. So I really think community oriented shows or videos would have to be my favorite thing.
Very nice. Well, we're happy to have you on board. Another thing I want to kind of bring up real quick too is that Ultimate Halo kind of took a back seat for a few months, actually. And
for sure. Yeah.
You're back with one of your other colleagues as well. So you guys are kind of pretty much tag teaming it with, I think it's you, Fletch. I think that's the name. And then Wang
it's
Time.
Me, yeah, it's me, Jack, and Tyler, and Wang Time all back in Ultimate Halo.
Very nice. Is there any kind of cool stuff that is kind of coming down the pipeline? I've seen Wang Time do his kind of really off the wall things, which is kind of his style.
Yeah. No, he's a fun one. We're getting back into the swing of things. We have a couple of things planned that we have not really talked about much yet.
Spartan Ninja Warrior.
Things. That's a thing that's coming. We have some other projects coming up too, but yeah, Spartan Ninja Warrior, Fletch is going to get back into doing, his lore series about the locations in the Halo universe called, Destination Halo.
Oh, cool.
And then Tyler, I think, is going to be doing some more, rec showcases. And I think he's also going to be doing lore videos as well. And then we're also working with a friend, named Token, who was also on Halo Follower for a while. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. But he's also really great at doing like kind of documentary style lore videos. And so we're going to be working with him in the future as well to do some more of those, which are these really super high quality videos. It's just crazy how much effort and time he puts into these. And he just did one. We just put one up on the channel about the insurrectionists in Halo. And it's just this awesome style that he has. And so we're going to be hopefully doing more of those in the future.
Very cool. That's quite a, what's the word I'm looking for? Gosh.
Full plate?
Yeah, but there was another word that, I don't know. Words are difficult. Apparently.
Do the words. Do the English.
Yeah. So we got Infinity's Armory for this month's update, and it came with quite a few things. We talked about a lot of stuff last week, but who here has actually played the new maps? I've played both Riptide and what's the word on Urban. I played both of those. Who else has played those maps so far?
I haven't
had a chance to play.
I haven't played any. I've played Halo 5 and I haven't seen any of them pop up yet.
Okay, I guess that leaves me and Haas. Anyways, we have with whenever you have the Warzone Assault maps, the variants based off them, not really much of the map has changed other than kind of closing off areas, but this time they actually did quite a bit of change. So you start off with one of the garages and then that whole middle structure is completely changed into an armory. And I've only played it once, so I don't know the dynamics of the map too well. We might have to revisit this one back next week. But does it... I don't know. When you played it, Haas, did it feel a little off?
It felt way too open. It's like...
Yeah. It's a vehicle-heavy map.
It is. And, it kind of... I think it struggles with a lot of the same things Battle of Noctis does. It just feels so open that you just don't really have a chance. I don't know. Especially on the assault. I played defenders and attackers, and I did not feel good being an attacker at all. like, and it was one of the first times in Warzone Assault that I felt I had no shot. And we, I mean, our team was getting plenty of kills. I mean, we were, most of us were level sevens or eights by the end of it. And we barely had gotten the first base and then didn't even advance past the second. So, I don't know. It just felt weird. I'm not a big fan of Battle of Noctis or this one. I guess I would have to be honest.
So Battle of Noctis, I find that's actually a lot of fun because it is a little bit different than what we got with the past ones. But this one, I've only played it once. And I have heard there are some exploits that the defending team can use against the attacking team. So I'm assuming those will be patched in at some point. But just, I think you kind of really hit the nail on the head when you said it was too open, because most of the stuff, once you get out there, once you get past the garage, really, you're completely in the open trying to attack the armory, and there's just not much room for you to get up there and take it easily.
Yeah, it really needs to be coordinated pushes on this map if you're going to be trying to all come from one side, or, you know, make sure you're able to help each other out if you're coming from multiple sides. It kind of takes away a little bit of the individual skill element of it. Because if you get a team that's even halfway paying attention, you're toast.
Yeah. I've only played it once, too, and it wasn't on the attacking team, and we actually did win. That last push up the hill to the base is also very difficult as well. This map overall seems like it's very hard for the attacking team to make headway. I mean, the garage is pretty comparable, I think, to the rest of the garages. So, what's the garage one? On whatever the escape from the arc one is for assault, like that garage, it pretty much plays similarly in this one, I think. But you're going uphill, and it's pretty open when you're attacking the armory and the base.
And I think, you know, my opinions may very well change if I get more time with it. And, you know, the amount of teammates you have can obviously change any experience, especially within Halo 5. So, I mean, those things very well could change. I've only had so much time with it, but I just see a very open map, and I'm kind of okay with a difficult Warzone experience if you're, you're just trying to figure it out, because I think that's kind of what's cool about Halo maps, is they can place so differently that you kind of have to learn those maps and how to play those maps. You can't just always be an aggressive pusher on every map. So maybe that will change. Just right now, I'm not necessarily digging the map.
Yeah, me neither. So I guess we'll try to visit that one next week when everyone else has a chance to get their hands on it. Arena, we had Riptide added, which is supposed to be the remix of Fathom. Who else has played this one?
I played for a good hour, and I haven't had a chance to get on any of the new maps or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
Playing matchmaking for an hour?
Yep. I haven't seen them yet.
I've only played Riptide in customs, but...
Yeah, me too. That's a good point to make.
That's okay. Enough for me. But I don't know.
Anyone else?
I haven't played it either.
All right, I guess it's a Haas and me show, it seems like, tonight.
Mono,
I actually haven't even been on Halo for the past 2 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been working on other things like, you know, taxes and, you know, kind of important stuff.
Those are
fun. Yeah. Ooh, GT. Taxes aren't due until the 18th this year. The Halo podcast, not the unofficial Life podcast.
Well, you know, sometimes life just gets in the way.
It's always in the
way. I'm gonna take that idea if you don't do it.
The unofficial Life podcast.
Copyrighted.
I will do it.
Yeah, copyrighted.
I think there's a lot of those out there already. Just search iTunes.
We need more.
Today it rained.
Okay.
Exactly.
So for Riptide, I kind of got, I don't know, I got a feel of a mix of maps, really. It felt very disconnected from Fathom in a good, like, half of the map to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the half that is Fathom, I love it. Like where it's sticking out of the water, and I don't know. I really liked the lighting on this map. I liked it being kind of brighter, and just the different environments you go into. Like one side is dark and damp feeling, and then the other side you're like, this is a whole different map. I'm in the middle of a desert, and one's in a factory. I really liked it, and it played pretty well. One little knock I have to point out, why is the sniper right next to the Hydro launcher? Like, literally 3 steps away. For whatever team gets a hold of that position first. No bueno for the other.
Is that top mid?
No, it's like back in a corner. Just there's the sniper is on the ground, and then you just kind of like kitty corner down to your left, and there's the there's the Hydro launcher.
The Hydro?
Yeah, Hydra, not Plasma Gas, Hydra. I don't know, I just like feel like that would be a little OP for whoever gets that positioning. But, I mean, that's a really easy fix.
Because I thought the Hydra spawned down by that lift, right?
No, it spawns right by the beam. It kind of is like in this little nook.
Okay, I obviously haven't played enough then to know, I guess. Yeah, so there's quite a bit in here, and there's some stuff in here that remind me of Overgrowth a little bit, even though it's not nearly the same kind of environment. But it did seem this remix seemed significantly different from the original map than a lot of the other remixes that we've seen. Or at least that's what it feels like to me.
I felt like they're all different maps and they play completely different. I know a lot of people disagree. I only share my thoughts and my experience, but I still don't think I want completely new maps though. Like many people have expressed, I'm cool with these remixes, but these remixes can't be the only one. Like yeah. One of my favorite things about expansions in Halos in the past is, you know, you see re-envisionings of old maps from past Halo games, or, you know, just every map was so different, and these they're alike, but they play differently. If that can make remotely any sense.
Yeah, I think it does. I would personally like to see some proper big team maps made, or something that is bigger than just 4v4.
Forge is cool, and I'm glad we're starting to see a lot of the Forgers get more hands-on time with these Forge maps, because we're actually starting to see maps that look like maps, not gray or, you know, bland walls, which I'm really happy about. Like that Pit remake, that's my standard for Forge maps in Halo 5 now. Like those kind of details, that's what I want to see. And I feel like the big team set we have right now, yes, the Forgers didn't have a ton of time to really kind of polish those experiences. And they only had, 3-4 days? Maybe a week? So,
well, yeah, they made the foundations of it, and then they had 343 go in and try to finish them up and modify them. And now the Forgers are going back in and making their 2.0 versions of them the way they really feel they should be.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, you know, I said before on one of the previous podcasts that they had enough time to do the basic layout on those BTB maps. They really didn't get the time to put the polish on them that they do in the regular maps. And you can see that in the new maps that they're creating. The polish on the new maps is just exquisite. I mean,
yeah.
There's... The Pit is the perfect example. It looks better than the original.
Yeah, it looks like an actual
map. And it plays the same.
They got a few little things to mix up. Well, But yeah.
You can only do so much in Forge, though.
Yeah. No. I mean, like, it not saying the map's broken. Like, when you're coming out of flag, you can't clamber that wall. You kind of have to, like, jump, crouch, and thrust. Like, that could be fixed a little bit, but that's the only thing that I can honestly complain about on that Pit map.
Well, considering you couldn't do that in the original.
Yeah, but in competitive settings, they put 2 crates there so that you could jump up on. That's the version of Pit I'm used to, is being able to jump right there. So,
gotcha. I think it's one of those things, too, that we're seeing a lot of people work on remakes of original maps. And that's really filling in a lot of the nostalgia void and is kind of replacing in the manner of speaking, a lot of those custom maps, because these arena maps, they're only meant for 4v4. There's no bigger team proper maps made. And I think that's something that's severely missing.
I have to say one thing. If you're going to remake a map, please keep in mind, you don't have to use armor abilities on everything, such as, or Spartan abilities. Like, I was playing an Ivory Tower one, and you had to clamber going up around rockets. And it just felt scaled so huge. Like, I just want to jump there. I don't want to clamber. So, you know, find a balance. Like, it's cool being able to use jumps and to grab onto ledges. Don't make it a necessity to grab ledges or things like
that. So to get up from rockets, you had to clamber back up?
So you know how there's like the terrace that goes up to underneath Sniper? Like, yeah. It has terraces. You had to clamber on each level of the terraces. And that was the one 343 featured in their weekly update.
Hmm.
It just kind of bothered me a little bit.
But. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there are some of these remakes that are being made. They're making game types that's like, this is the Halo 3 game type without any Spartan abilities, clamber, any of that stuff. So it's basically trying to bring that classic Halo back for classic maps, which I think is fine. You have a game type that is specifically for classic Halo, and you put those with the classic maps, and then it plays very similarly to how it did before.
Yeah, I'm cool with throwback. I just, not every Spartan ability has to be used throughout your map. But well, it's your map, not yeah. mine, so.
The one thing I would maybe say adjust your map for is sprint.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't even have to do that for every map either.
A lot, I've really found a lot of the Halo 3 remakes feel really good with the Halo 5. Like, the ones that are kind of going one-to-one on those, they feel really good. Like, they just feel scaled correctly. The Halo 2 ones, not so much. And I think people are kind of going off the POVs and things like that. I've noticed a lot of the Twitch streams that people are doing. They're having another Xbox, or they're doing a map walkthrough while they're forging, so they can really make sure it's correct, but it's not quite correct for Halo 5.
I've seen a few people do it where they take a crate and then they measure it out via crates distance-wise and then actually make the map. Now, you can only really do that from Halo 3 onwards, but Halo 2, I do remember whenever they were talking about the Terminal 1, they had someone in there basically trying to look at every single piece and try to match it up as much as possible to the original.
Duquesne's working on a Blood Gulch remake, and he's using warthogs.
That should be
fun. That works too.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm really interested to see how that one works, because Blood Gulch is a very open map, and
yeah.
Weapons like this DMR, they got some range.
Mm-hmm.
You have to work on your placement of weapons too.
Yeah,
and types of weapons.
Blood Gulch is one of those staples, though, that I think will work pretty much in any Halo game.
Yeah,
I mean, there's just some maps that are just like, hey, this is a Halo classic. This is going to be something that is going to live on forever in the Halo community, or that will work.
Yeah, I ran around on a Valhalla
Blood Gulch remake in Halo 5. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. We're talking Blood Gulch. Talk Blood Gulch.
I was just going to say, I think with a Blood Gulch remake in Halo 5, it's going to play significantly faster, and it'll probably feel way different than anything we're used to, especially just because of the fact that the Magnum in this game is almost comparable to the battle rifle. So there's going to be engagements from much longer ranges than we're used to, and I think that's either going to make the map feel a lot smaller, or it's just going to make the game go way faster.
Yep.
Well, the Spartan abilities are going to make the map feel smaller, just for the simple fact of your sprint.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can move around the map quickly, unlike, you know, in the original Halo, it took some time to get across Blood Gulch unless you had a vehicle.
Definitely. Yeah.
But now with sprint,
I guess CTF.
Go ahead, Dust.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say, I think with the whole armor abilities or the Spartan abilities, I remember playing Blood Gulch and Coagulation back in college and doing unlimited time capture the flag, and sometimes those games would take 3 to 4 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, though, with Spartan abilities, those games would be significantly reduced in time, but I still think it would be something that'd be hella fun to play.
Oh, yeah. We were running around on a Valhalla remake the other night. That was really solid. I was very impressed. No water, but they used glass.
Yeah. Well, hopefully water is something that they'll add later to Forge. This is something where, I know we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, where when we had the community cartographers on, but something like a PC forging system to mm-hmm. have someone make these maps.
I feel like that
would be kind of nice.
Like, maybe not in Halo 5, but I could see it coming in Halo 6. I would hope. You know, with the power of the cloud.
By PC forging system, what do you mean?
Like, you can create the maps on your PC. So you can forge on the PC, and then they can be implemented on the Xbox One, on the file browser, or whatever, wherever somebody wants to find it.
That sounds really cool.
The way they described it on the ForgeCast is that in the game, you would have a basic map editor. And then for the more advanced people, like the forging community, they would have a more advanced version that they could run on the PC where they could have keyboard and mouse. And
basically the idea that we came up with was it would be something where pulling it into the PC, you would have a lot more options to making custom terrain and being able to, instead of having to take like blocks and stuff, you'd be able to custom create a structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull that in. So all the forge pieces, like maybe barriers and barrels and trees and stuff, those would still be set to forge objects, but you'd be able to custom make your own structures and terrain. And then on top of that, you'd be able to put in additional forge pieces on the PC. And that would make creating maps a whole lot quicker. And then being able to push those back to the Xbox, or if Halo 6 comes to the PC, which the frameworks that any Xbox One game is being made on right now is capable of being played on Windows 10. So there's no reason that MCC or Halo 5 couldn't be ported over to PC. But that was something that we were talking about during the ForgeCast that we had with the community cartographers a couple weeks ago. So anyways, that would be kind of fun. But back to Riptide. It is available in Team Arena, Slayer, SWAT, and FFA. As far as the whole weapon spawn things, I have to go back and check, but isn't there a fuel rod on that map as well, Haas?
A what about?
Fuel rod? It's a beam rifle, a Hydra, and I think a fuel rod.
Yes. That thing's pretty beefy on that map.
It is. It definitely is. And the map also has
the Halo 2 VR.
Does it have the Halo 2? Okay. That's what I was thinking about. Like, I wasn't sure. Okay. Yeah. So it does.
One, and it respawns every 20 seconds.
Okay. I actually saw someone post a video up on YouTube of doing a comparison with the Halo 5 BR to the Halo 2 BR.
Yes.
The differences are minuscule.
They are small. They feel different. The Halo 5 BR, though, pulls up where the Halo 2 BR does not.
Oh, is that the difference? Okay.
That is the difference.
Because the kill time I saw was maybe a frame.
Yeah, it's different. Not much. I find the Halo 2 VR, though, feels way better. Like, I picked up both and was kind of like just running around spamming people with them. And I honestly would never use the Halo 5 VR again if the Halo 2 VR is available. That's how much better it feels to me.
I'm the other way around. I'd still like the Halo 5 one.
I agree.
I didn't like the Halo 2 VR, to be perfectly honest.
I think that may be because you came in more at a Halo 3 time frame. And I think the Halo 5...
I played Halo... Closer to
that. Well, I know you played a bunch.
I was playing
but
Halo
like,
2 Vista before I was playing Halo 3.
I don't know. I love the Halo 2 VR. The Halo 3 VR disgusts me.
Yeah, I won't argue that. Of the two, I'd rather have the Halo 2 VR than the Halo 3.
Like, Zachariah posted on Twitter, like, that thing has created trust issues. Like,
all right, fair enough.
I couldn't agree more.
Alrighty. So that's pretty much it for the update. I guess we'll try to revisit these maps when Bio and GT have gotten their hands on a little bit more as well. There is a couple other things to talk about. First off, Halo announced today that the Fall of Reach graphic novel is going to be coming out in March, but you can pre-order it right now. So you're able to head on over to... they have a link in here. If you go to aka.ms/Fall of Reach pre-order, it takes you to a place where you can go ahead and pre-order the graphic novel. So if that's something that you're looking to get into, you can go ahead and pre-order it right now. The pre-order price is $19.99. It was $24.99. It's from a place called T-Faw or T-Faw Comics. It's something I have not heard of before, but that is where it is being currently available, currently being sold. So make sure you check that out if you're interested. Also, Halo is going to the X Games this weekend. So if you guys are watching, then they've already started. They already started the bracket play today. I haven't had a chance to watch any of it yet, but they have started playing for the 8 teams that are there. That's happening in Aspen, Colorado this weekend. So make sure you check out the stream. They are streaming on MLG TV, Halo's Twitch channel, probably on the Halo channel as well on the Xbox or Windows 10. And then there's going to be highlights on ESPN on TV. And then Watch ESPN is also hosting the stream as well for Halo. So make sure you check that out. Lots of cool stuff going on. And the fun thing is that all the teams are going to be getting medals as well for this. But day one was group play today. Day two tomorrow on Friday is going to be another round of group play. Day three is going to be the final brackets, finals brackets, and then day four is going to be the all-star matchup. And for those of us that didn't, or for those of you that didn't catch us last week, Xbox.com also announced the teams. And just to refresh your memory, it is Team Allegiance, Renegades, CLG, Dream Team, Evil Geniuses, Epsilon, Team Liquid, and Penta. Penta being a team from... Penta being the German team and Epsilon being the UK team. Everyone else is from the US.
And those US teams were taking it to them today. Like, pretty bad.
Yeah, so if you... saw a few tweets talking about either Allegiance or Renegades today. I think it was Allegiance.
Allegiance is US. So.
Right.
And they were kind of like a cat playing with a wounded bird. That's kind of in Halo terms.
Alrighty.
It was nasty.
What do you think is going to be the possibility we might see one of the internationals in the top four?
No chance.
Very low, if anything.
Yeah.
Like, I think Optic would beat them, and Optic, I don't even think are going to make it.
Well, Optic's not on here. Or unless we're talking about, well, like,
Optic. I'm talking about, out,
like, they didn't even make it.
Period, like, too. World Championships and all.
Oh, gotcha.
Optic hasn't even qualified yet, but I think in these X Games and in the World Championships, apologies to the European teams or foreign teams.
I mean, if the Asia qualifier was going to be any kind of indication of how it was going to go against North American teams, I can't see any international teams making it very far up the bracket.
I'm guessing the only real
first rounds out.
I don't want to sound demeaning to the other countries, but to me, the best countries that would have a chance of really taking this are any UK team that make the European qualifiers or the European finals. I hesitate to say it, but maybe an Aussie team. But other than that,
anybody outside of the UK or Europe, kind of the ones we saw.
I mean, there could be a surprise.
There could be.
We could get surprised.
I have seen nothing that would make me think that it could happen. I mean, sports and esports are weird, but it's kind of like... Europe coming here and trying to beat us in the NFL. Like, probably wouldn't happen. And, or us trying to take soccer to them. We don't do too well. That's just my observation of it.
I think what part of it comes down to is the fact that all these other places around the world haven't had so much exposure in esports with first-person shooters outside of CSGO recently, especially on a console FPS like Halo. And I think that the fact that there's never been such a high-profile tournament like this around the world for all these other places that have never, again, had any exposure, I think that's part of the reason why there's not really much of a sliver of hope for these other places around the world.
They don't really have their MLG type setup. It's newer to them. They've had esports, but like you just said, on the console and first-person shooter, not so much.
Well, I think to expand on that too, it's another thing that because they haven't had those opportunities for the tournaments, I think there hasn't been as much of an effort for people to be playing constantly and developing the skills as much as the American teams have. So kind of going off of what you were saying, Kenny, I think that's another... I mean, we could see a team, because whenever Halo 4 came out and MLG had their little exhibition thing, or their like initial... yeah, I know people laugh at it. But their initial and one and only Halo 4 event, there were teams that came in and they kind of surprised people. People that really hadn't seen any limelight in any competitive capacity before. And Halo 5 is still pretty new out there, where people are still kind of getting used to the mechanics. Granted, some of the higher profile American teams have nailed a lot of them down, but there's still a lot of other kind of variables in there that you still have to account for, and you'll still have to play months and months and months to really nail down a groove or get all the abilities under your belt. So there's a possibility we might see just a team come out of nowhere and be like, oh, this is okay. I do hope that we see the Halo World, well, HCS, still be expanded towards the world and not just the US after the Halo World Championship.
I don't know like what the cost is of that, but in...
Even if it's just yearly, like have regional stuff go on throughout the year, but do it. So like take the MLG Pro Circuit back in the Halo 2 and 3 days. You can do like do regional stuff for countries and have maybe a big thing, maybe every 3 or 4 months or whatever. Like have those qualifiers for throughout the year. So have one quarter be like you do lands per quarter, and then you have one big one at the end of a season or something.
Mm-hmm. Could see something like that happen.
Or do 2 seasons, do 2 a year instead of 3 or 4. Or sorry, do like one overall season with lands and stuff to qualify and get points, and then have 2 big final stuff throughout the year instead of having like 3 big final things and then do 1 overall world final. But I'm just shooting from the hip on ideas.
Yeah. They got to continue to push. One, they got to continue to push high dollar tournaments so the players want to continue to play. But on, you know, there's so much to do for Halo. Like, you really, the money has to be there to pull larger audiences in that are going to play and support it. And part of my fear is I don't know if Halo can do that.
They can't keep crowdfunding from rec packs forever to get a big prize pool.
Yep.
I don't know how they're going to come up with this much money again unless they get some sort of giant investment or sponsorship or whatever.
And that's something that I brought up before too, because it's one of those things where it only has that initial flare for so long. And they didn't even announce how much money they made after the HCS packs, because they stated the $2 million before they started selling the HCS packs. So we don't even know where that HCS money went, to be honest.
Well, I think they're kind of wait until this last tournament, the last qualifier that they're going to have. I would expect an announcement right after that or during that. Like, oh, by the way, guys, you're now playing for $4 million. Because I would bet it's probably close to that. If though,
do you really think they made that much money?
I'm thinking 2.5, maybe.
Really? But
I really can't see it being much higher from.
I see at least declining.
Yeah, I'd say around 3, maybe getting closer to 4. But I definitely
there very well could be a big sponsorship that's coming through that Big Daddy Microsoft negotiated that, you know, pushed it that.
Or hell, just Microsoft giving
it
away.
Yeah.
And here you go.
Hey, let's promote this thing further, but Microsoft is going to want to see its return investment. That's for sure. And because
I just can't see going much further.
Well, yeah,
I don't know how much
Microsoft could do because they got Gears of War esports starting up now too, and so that's going to be two esports under the Microsoft belt.
They're going to stretch.
You can't stretch it too thin, but at the same time, you gotta pull these people in if you're wanting to be relevant in the esports community. I don't think esports is really been tapped to where it's actually could go. Like I think there is a ton of room to grow, and I think Blizzard's purchase of MLG is kind of a sign of that and what their goal is with that. That's just how I see it.
In time, I think esports will be a thing, but I just, with Halo as in its current state, it's hard to see Halo becoming a mainstream esport title. Granted, I mean, I would love to see it be that way, but look at the crowds for League. Look at the crowds for CSGO. Those are, and like, they pull in an international audience for a reason. Halo doesn't do that.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge.
Yeah, and for Halo, there's still a lot of other things that need to be there in order for it to really kind of survive as an esports title. I just don't think, I mean, watching the online qualifiers, the fact that people are saying what the result is before they're even starting to stream, like, they should have something in place for being able to do official streaming events where they have a live spectator view and they don't have to be waiting to spectate a game. There should be some technology that they have at their disposal to make this, like, Halo be an actual esports. And I mean, if you look at Call of Duty Black Ops, which is a game that has been out for, 6 years now? They had a full, like, spectator thing where you could blow out a window, you can go through, select someone's view, and then snap to it instead of having to rotate through everybody. And you can make, like, a dash, like, spectator mode and have something special as a one-off that you can use for broadcasters so they can maybe have, like, a quad screen up on a team, be able to snap to that, and be able to have tools at their disposal, and especially for like Walshy, because I like Walshy commentating for a very specific reason. I think a lot of people do too, is that he walks through why teams are doing certain things instead of just calling out action. Because honestly, commentators that just are doing play-by-play, it's like, I am watching the screen. I understand what's going on, but Walshy's commentary...
I don't know about you, but I liked the Asia commentators for the Asia streams. Those guys are pretty good.
I didn't watch the Asian ones.
I don't know if you watched those.
No. Are they good?
Dude, it's one of those so bad it's good things.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Okay. Gotcha. But, I mean, back to like Walshy, though, he actually goes through and explains why teams are doing what they're doing and explaining why certain plays are good. And I would guess that there are tools that 343 could implement for Halo that would kind of help benefit that. I mean, the outlines help a tad, but that's really the only benefit that they get from spectator mode right now when it comes to casting. And that's really not that much. Mm-hmm. Anyways, end rant.
rant over.
Yeah. So there's the X Games going on this weekend. So make sure you check out that action over on Halo's Twitch, MLG TV, watch ESPN, and then you'll be able to catch some of the highlights on broadcast television on, I guess the X Games are going to be primarily on ESPN or ESPN2.
Yeah.
So there'll be highlights, supposedly, of this invitational on national television. So at least Halo's getting some national broadcast attention, which is kind of cool. Something else that also got dropped today was Warzone vehicle packs, which you can go and purchase on the Rec store. Unfortunately, this is something that you can only buy with money. You can't use Rec points, which quite a few of us have an issue with.
I do wish they would change that.
I think more than a couple of us have issues with it.
So that is, I believe, $5.99, if I was not mistaken. Does that sound right?
Think so.
I have to go back and check real quick. Yeah, $5.99.
Yeah.
And it is, it's packs that contain permanent rec vehicles of rare or above. And then like with that, you get a lot of vehicle consumables with that too. And this is another case where it's just going to, in my opinion, it's supporting people that decide to shell out a bunch of money. It is just kind of going more towards that pay to win style.
I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's close to pay to win at all, but I do think that it's an unnecessary level of microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I feel like this is going to be kicking a dead horse a little bit, but I feel like it would be perfectly reasonable and within their business model to just, if they want to do these specialized packs, to do what they did with the HCS rec pack thing, where you can have a ridiculous, really high number of rec points that you need to have, and then you can buy.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, you know, 5 or 10,000 just with the silver and gold packs. It'll be, I don't know, maybe 50 or 100,000, or maybe even higher if you really want it to be that high and want to encourage people. But it should still be possible, I think, if they really want to encourage as many people to try and get these as possible, to make it to where you can just get the packs from playing the game for just a way longer time than you normally would.
I agree. I think it should be, I think any pack that's made available with money should be at some point able to get with rec points. I mean, just looking at the gold bundles too, that should be, sure, you should be able to get any pack that you can get with money, you should be able to get with some amount of rec points, in my opinion.
I think that would translate really well to encouraging people to continue to play and save up rec points with those gold bundles, where you can buy like, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 of them. I think if they increased exponentially the number of rec points that you have to get those bundles with just rec points alone and not currency, I think that would be a great way to actually encourage players to get more rec points and to keep playing the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Although this kind of brings into question, what's Microsoft's mantra here? Are they really just looking for money, or are they looking for player retention?
I think it's more money.
Money.
And that's my problem. Because I understand where the rec system really does kind of entice people to keep playing, because, I mean, to Bio's chagrin, one of the things is that if there's a rec that you want, the game's going to make you keep playing until you get that rec. So in a sense, that's a good player retention model, but the fact that you have these Warzone packs that are only able to be acquired through purchasing, one, it does kind of indicate that Microsoft really has more interest in money than player retention. And two, it does really get to start being that microtransaction focus, to where it's not quite pay to win, but it starts to enter that gray area of that.
Well, it's not exactly pay to win, but it's pay to not lose.
Not exactly,
so badly.
No. Right.
You know,
but the fact that, like, whenever you're buying one of these vehicle packs, that's just, and you can only get that through money. So people that have to normally go through and get vehicles with a gold pack instead of buying this thing, I mean, they're taking a whole lot longer. And this is just, it's like, hey, you have money to shell us out? Here's a shortcut to get all the nice stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not real happy with that.
No,
and I know it's something
either.
Is like something very minute compared to the rest of the Halo game, but it's still something that, it's a mindset that I am starting to take an issue with, that I really am uncomfortable about.
Well, I think we've already seen it done, though, in a AAA major FPS title, and that would be Battlefield 4, where, I don't know if you ever played it, but in their progression system, it is, you do unlock things based on ranks with things kind of like rec packs, and you do get like random weapons and customization things and cosmetic items as well. But you literally, it takes rec packs to a next level if you want to compare them side by side. Because you literally have the option to just, they're called shortcuts, and you just buy all the vehicles. You literally just, there's an option to just literally buy every single vehicle, every single gun, every single cosmetic thing, every camo for your character. You can literally buy all of these things separately. or all together with one giant purchase if you literally want to. So I think that's kind of taking it to the extreme, and it's sold well with them, and it's made DICE a lot of money, even with their premium memberships as well that they have going for Battlefield.
It's kind of like an unfortunate truth.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really a way to stop it. You're seeing it come into every game. I mean, games like Tomb Raider have microtransactions now, and I don't know.
Why? For what?
For like unlocks and like kind of like big head mode type stuff too. And it doesn't make sense to me, but you know, it just takes a couple of fans to, they got to have the complete package essentially. And so what are they going to do? They're going to spend.
I guess that's where we're going with this new generation of video games and electronic entertainment, where it's just always continue to spend money after your initial purchase. It's never just going to be pre-orders and DLC anymore. That was towards the end of 360, and this is the new evolution where you try to continue to get your audience and customers to continue to spend money after the purchasing the product.
I think that's also maybe playing into just the length of life people are putting into games now, because now not only do you have a bunch of titles coming out, but to continue to get the experience, you almost feel like you have to spend more money continuously if you're going to continue to enjoy this game. So why would I do that? Okay, I can either spend $60 here to continue this one experience, or I can spend $60 here to get a whole new experience. And people like new things. They like the new shiny thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm pulling a little bit, but I'm kind of sick of it.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, for me, it's come down to I am not spending a single dollar on rec packs unless it's like directly.
Same. I'm
like,
in that boat.
Like the HCS one, I don't mind that one because it was supposed to be going directly to support HCS, and really the only way to guarantee those recs was through that pack. So I don't mind stuff like that. That's kind of like a promotional, hey, this is to directly support this thing. But otherwise, I'm not spending another cent on rec packs. I can't believe in this system anymore.
Yeah.
I will grind out to complete my recs. I mean, I'll continue to play Halo 5, but I'm not going to spend another dollar on it.
My fear is they're going to start unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, because, you know, evil corporate people. They're going to start hurting the player that doesn't want to spend the money. Like, I like that I can earn rec points at a fairly consistent pace, and I can unlock things. But at the same time, I feel like person who spends $1,500 on recs, they're getting everything and getting a form of advantage. I don't feel like recs are as big of an advantage as they are in, say, other games, where you can just say, oh, you know what, I want the M16, and that's a better gun than the M416, or, you know, whatever, speaking of battlefield terms. But I fear that Halo's going to take, you know, simple things like the battle rifle. Oh, sorry, you're going to have to start buying these things, or
we're going to turn into Halo Online.
Yeah, exactly. And Halo Online's cool. That's cool. But don't let that ruin your brand or your franchise, what most of these players have come to know and love.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that.
Like, they did it okay with Warzone. Yeah. They did okay. But how long until there's going to be a Warzone arena? And then, you know, next thing you know, it's only Warzone and Warzone arena.
One of the other issues I have, too, is that we have a lot of things that the community wants, and we're getting so much attention from 343 on these recs, and it's just, not many people care. And honestly, there's a good group of people that really don't care about certain recs. Like, there's people that really don't care about a lot of the armor sets or the skins. And to them, it's just having to go through all that issue with the rec system. It gets frustrating. And then there's other stuff.
This drum so many times, but I don't think emblems and anything that, you know, has been personalized you know, like we've said, that, you know, our emblems or our Spartan armor has become unique to us. There's people that make armor and emblems based off the characters in the game, and they can't get that in Halo 5 by just, you know, playing it or, you know, achieving an achievement. It's luck to make my Spartan look the way they want. It's
totally up to RNG.
Yep.
Another thing, too, about this vehicle rec pack that I kind of thought about a little bit earlier today is that I wouldn't mind this as much. Like, I wouldn't mind having a pack that is money only if it was purely aesthetics that you're getting. But the fact that you are getting certifications that do affect the kinds of cars that you can get for Warzone, which is supposed to be pretty much the social experience for Halo, you go into a game, and I mean, last night for Warzone Wednesdays for us, we went up against some really coordinated teams and we just got wrecked. I mean, one game we had, we lost 1,000-49 because we got wrecked by Oni Hogs, because the other team was able to call out Oni Hogs quick and we weren't able to. And I mean, it's the whole rec system isn't a direct correlation to that, but there is that propensity to have people that have those better recs more quickly available that does affect the outcome of a game.
For the person that can make it rain, they're going to get more unlocks and they're going to get more of each item. And it's not pay to win, but it is. It's like a more lucky pay to win.
It's pay to have better stuff, which I mean, in a way, it is pay to win, because that's kind of that whole mentality. I mean, I know a lot of people don't really like to think it's pay to win, but it is becoming more and more evident that yes, this is very similar to a pay-to-win style system.
I mean, the only reason I'm playing Warzone is, one, it's casual and I don't really have to focus on it. Two, I'm warming up. Or three, I get more rec points doing it. Like,
yep.
Outside of that, I want to play Arena. But I don't get lots of rec to get Arena. If I don't get lots of rec, I have slower build time, slower process of getting what I want out of those rec.
So that's something that Bravo has actually come out, I think, on Reddit or Twitter and said that they are looking at balancing the amount of rec that you get in Arena to how much rec that you get in Warzone. That is a balance that they are trying to address. And another thing about Arena, too, is that for the amount of time you're in Warzone, sometimes you're in the middle of a game for you have two or three games of Arena that fits into one game of Warzone, and you have dead time in there, and the rec system isn't going to count dead time as you earning rec points. So that time in game is actually less than the time in game that you have in Warzone, which would be another reason why the Arena is a little bit less.
I totally get that part of it. I still think you get more rec per minute in Warzone if we went off that measuring tool.
There is a couple other things that I wanted to bring up first before we start to wrap it up. We had a poll that we posted a couple weeks ago that I forgot to talk about last week. So we asked, what game type do you want to see most in Halo 5? And I put down the options race, griffball, infection, and other. And we got 50% of the vote going towards infection. People really want their zombie. Yeah, I know, right? People really want their zombie or infection game modes and all the fun customs. I don't know. For me, infection just got old because there are so many infection variants. I mean, some of them are cool, but there's just so much out there. It's just like, it's beating just rehashes of things over and over and over again. It's just like, come up with some better ideas, guys.
Well, the nice thing about infection is there were a lot of mini games that were built off infection. They weren't infection games, but they were just mini games that worked really well and were a lot of fun to play. Same with King of the Hill. There are so many mini games built off those that, yeah, you're playing a King of the Hill game, but you're not playing it. You're playing something else. And King of the Hill and Infection are probably the two top priorities for most people in Halo. You know, an assault game type or a ricochet game type for the people that want to play Griffball. but it's now we're getting right back to where we were last week. It should have shipped with them.
Yeah, very true.
I think building on what you said is that you have to, the way I personally like to look at infection is simply by calling the game mode of infection as progression. When you kill someone, you advance them to another team and give them a whole other set of traits. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways to use that. And there's so many creative ways that people have used that in the past that we've seen with Halo Reach and Halo 4 and Halo 3, like Backkit or what have you, all the crazy game types out there.
Okay.
That's not in Halo 5 anymore. And that's part of, I think, what keeps the game populations up, is because you can always, if you're tired of arena matchmaking, you can always just go into custom games with your friends and play all these crazy game types, which were pretty much endless in Halo Reach.
Well, there was also the insane game mode in Halo Reach 2.
Yeah,
that too.
There are a lot of really cool things
it was one of the most just really useful, innovative things, I think. Yeah, you could do so much with that. I mean, I remember watching Pete the Duck videos on him doing some really interesting stuff with that.
I mean, somebody actually built a chess game type out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked.
Yep.
It's a classic one right there. It did.
Well, except for Checkmate. I think that didn't really work too well. But other than that, yeah, it worked.
Okay.
But yeah. And wasn't Skee Ball built off of the insane game type too?
Yeah.
It was.
So many good stuff. There's a lot of things that...
With the direction.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, there's a lot of stuff that we've seen in past Halo games that were kind of like staples, and you would think that it would be something that kind of gets included at the start of any Halo game after that. And there's quite a few things in Halo 5 that are just missing.
Yeah. And I think with the direction, if you just look at least Forge from what we've seen from that, and their whole model of how they've gone about developing it from what we've seen, which I really like and really comforts me at the end of the day, is that they want to directly take user feedback on a day-by-day basis into how they're developing and crafting the Forge system. So I think if they take that same approach to their development style and translate that into how they build custom games and game types, I think that we won't be let down. And in fact, I actually think that we'll like them a lot more. Because if you also look at what they've teased from things like Griffball and stuff, and their quote unquote new innovative ball game types that they want to add, there's apparently going to be so much more that you can do alone with just that one game type that involves a ball. It's not just going to be a simple Griffball game type anymore. So I think if they take that direction and apply it to the rest of Halo in general, maybe after Halo 5 with Halo 6, I think that we won't be let down. And I think that we'll really like the direction that they take. But that's, to me, that seems like a big ask.
Yeah, it does. I would hope to see that they take that initiative to do it for Halo 6. There's a lot of business behind the scenes that I'm sure is going on with Microsoft, where I'm not sure if I would really trust Microsoft to make that judgment, because that's more of a, hey, this is a community thing. This is going to be us spending more money on dev time and not more money that we're putting in our pockets. Are you okay with this? And Microsoft might be like, no, where's our money? Going to milk this cash cow as much as possible.
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest things that irritates me. I don't mind the rec pack system, because it does help the game in a lot of different ways. But when it becomes the sole focus to where their sole focus is just to create new rec to bring in new dollars, it's just irritating. You know, I want them to create the rec to improve the game and then have the side benefit of making money. But I guess that's just too much to ask anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on probably behind the scenes that we have no clue. And it sucks that there's just that lack of transparency causes distrust with the community. And I was of the opinion that Halo 5 had to nail it, or else it'd be kind of pretty much a strikeout for Halo. And like, we got to maybe first or second base with Halo 5, Like, they really need to come out a lot better with Halo 6 too. They need to have all those features there at day one. It can't be this piecemeal stuff, because what they did with Halo 5 Arena and multiplayer is what happened to Titanfall. They had a good feature set and functionality from a multiplayer perspective, but the game modes were just not there, and player retention tanked in Halo 5 when it came to December. The population dropped significantly, and I just don't want to see that happen again to Halo, because I really think what they did with Halo 5, they really kind of roped it back into, hey, this the functionality and the core gameplay mechanics are good for the game. It's just a lot of the stuff that supports the game, like the lack of game modes and the lack of diverse maps, is just a giant stain.
A lack of things that keep your game interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, so, I just don't feel like a new couple things a month is enough to be like, yahoo, everybody's coming back. Like,
yeah, no.
People are greedy. They want it, and they want it now.
I mean, the things that we've really gotten that people have been asking for was Forge,
big team,
four new maps, big team, and the Halo 2 rocket launcher.
Yeah.
or the classic rocket launcher, the Spanker rocket launcher.
I forgot.
That's it.
That was a big deal. And look, I just want to kind of point out on this Infinity's Armory pack, a lot of the updates they did to the UI were fantastic. It reminds me a lot of like the Halo 2 1.1 update. It just kind of felt, you know, they're like, you know, yeah, it was good, but they really just polished that experience. This was a good update. It just wasn't, it still left our mouths dry. Like, it was a good drink of water, but then you still come up and you're still dehydrated.
Interesting way to put it.
I don't know. But yeah. It's just, I'm tired of the constant letdown. You know, like, I've been wanting to see a lot of changes in Halo 5 for a long time, and especially going after this Infinity's Armory. I'm just disgusted at this point. I mean, we've had this discussion last week. We went into it pretty long time last week, but I don't know. I honestly feel that we need to see some not drastic, but some changes that will start giving us an idea of this is where we're going to start going with things, because if not, it just isn't going to add up, really. You can't spoon feed me rec packs anymore and be all right with it. It's just not gonna happen. I want to see game types, and I want to see better games, game types getting thrown into the matchmaking. And I'm tired of playing the same game types that I've been playing since day one. The only game types that have been changed so far is the weekend ones, and I've had more fun playing those than I have playing any other ones that I've played regularly. And I'm sorry, but Warzone just isn't fulfilling any of that, and that's where their main focus is. It's just not there.
I'm kind of torn on when people say Warzone is where their focus is. I'm not sure I believe it.
Because, well, then where? What else would you consider that?
You got a huge part of the Halo community saying they're too focused on competitive esports Halo, and that's why it ruined Halo. Like,
well, right. Well, that's different, though. But when it comes to updates and stuff, you don't see them going towards competitive esports. You see them going towards Warzone. Like, you get one map of esports, and the rest of everything is aesthetics and stuff that's going to be obtained in Warzone and rec packs. That's it.
As far as updates, yes. But as far as multiplayer focus from a public perspective, competitive Halo is ruling the airwaves with everything HCS and Halo World Championship, and it's the other part of it. I think the other part of the competitive arena side, Haas, is that the social aspect and the lack of game types is an issue.
Oh, absolutely. But the lack of game types is a big issue in esports, too. So, like, I think a lot of people think it isn't, but it really is.
Yeah, it's just
lots of room to grow. I feel like when we see this game a year after release, we'll. It'd be kind of interesting to reflect on a lot of the discussions we're having now, see where the community is, see where the game is. because I feel it's going to be completely different, and it's going to be completely different as a positive, or it's going to be completely different as a negative. I hope, and my gut says positive, but there's just that little part of me that, like, I wonder.
Yeah. Anyways, that I think is going to be it for the night. There's one other thing that we haven't mentioned yet, and I don't think we covered it last time, but the breakout playlist in Arena has been replaced by the community breakout playlist, which includes some new community maps, including Simulation, which was the pit remake for Breakout, which I'm excited to play. I need to get a group on this weekend to play a little bit and finish out the other playlist that I need ranks in before the end of the season, which that's another thing too, is that the January season is going to be coming to a close here pretty soon. So we've got, the seasons are monthly for the ranks, and we're going to have the ranks reset probably, I'm guessing it'll be the first of the month. I would assume that's when it's going to be. And yeah, so make sure you get in any ranks that you need for playlists. Those will be reset here pretty soon. And if you get ranked, then you will actually get a, I think it's just an emblem right now. At least that's what they've said. But you get a little season emblem. I think they're going to do that for every season. So make sure you get in there and at least get, I think you just have to be ranked in one playlist to get it. So make sure you get that done. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Make sure you check us out on all of our social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, all that fun stuff. Make sure that we have, you're subscribed to YouTube, because we have a couple of videos coming up. I think, GT, you're working on Achieving Halo, or you did a recording of it.
Yeah.
This past weekend, right?
Right now, we're just working on getting the assets in there, in the video, in the correct order. And it should be up here in the next week or so. Hopefully faster than that.
Sweet. Yep. And you're doing that through some of the Spartan Company stuff too, right? So people that are in Spartan Company can come help you make some of these episodes?
Yes. Matter of fact, I'm starting to try to do my recordings at 5 o'clock Eastern on Saturdays. So if you want to be a part of it, hit me up either on Twitter or Xbox Live. Shoot me a message through Waypoint. I do have a post on the forums as well you can respond on. But yeah, if you want to be part of it, just let me know and we'll get you in.
Sweet. So that's an opportunity for you guys to get into some videos and help us out making some stuff, which is pretty cool. Also, there was a pretty severe tragedy in the community this week. One Halo community member lost both of his daughters to a house fire. He was out and on a job, and his house caught fire, and he lost his two daughters. So there's a GoFundMe, and there's a charity live stream happening this weekend, which might kind of get overshadowed by some of the X Games stuff that's going on. But if you guys want to go check that out, there's links all over social media. And there is a Twitch channel, Halo for Crazed. His gamer tag is the Crazed Spartan. I think he's actually sent some submissions to us before in the past. So, yeah, he's going through a pretty rough time right now, losing both of his daughters in his house.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having to go through something like that ever. I mean, losing a house is one thing, but losing your kids has to be, I can't even
crushing.
Imagine.
No, I get, when I heard that, that was really disturbing, really, like, that really kind of hit home, because I kind of had a friend that kind of was in the same situation, so I don't know what he's going through, but I can understand everything he's going through as of right now, because valuables and stuff like that, you know, things that you own can be replaced, your kids can't, you know, it's just how it is, and I really do strongly suggest everyone go try to, even if it's not donating, just give them, you know, words to help them out in some way.
Yeah, just send them a kind word.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a pretty crappy month for me.
Seems like it'd be a crappy month for a lot of people with, especially a lot of the celebrity deaths.
Well, I mean, even on a personal level, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm really heartbroken over his loss, but I've had one uncle and a good friend pass away this month, and I'm waiting to see who the third one is. This has just been a bad month. There's just been a lot of death in my life. I mean, not all of it is directly related to me, but I'm kind of thinking about going back to being a hermit.
It's just crazy the amount of stuff that's been happening this month, though, honestly. I mean, I'm not going to tangent off into anything, but this has been really kind of depressing month for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, just sad to hear a lot of the stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Anyways, thoughts and prayers out to you, Crazed.
Most definitely.
We're all here.
I can't say things will get better in good conscience, because I know it's going to be a rough year or more.
It's going to hurt for a long time.
So if you have a chance, drop by the stream. It's going to be a 24-hour stream starting Saturday, I believe, at 8 a.m., something like that. So it's twitch.tv/...
I think it's starting at noon or something.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a shift on Sunday.
Okay. But yeah, twitch.tv/HaloForCraze. We'll probably host it from our channel as well. So just check out the stream. Go support them. And yeah, just it sucks. Don't know what else to say, to be perfectly honest. I'll just leave it there. So that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Kenny, you want to plug all your social media and all the Ultimate Halo stuff before we sign off for the night?
Yeah, sure. My Twitter is twitter.com/thespartacat. Changed my Twitter handle like 3 times in the last 2 months.
Yeah, Kenny Winnipeg.
And then, you tried. Ultimate Halo is a thing as well on the YouTubes that you might have heard of. I think that's basically it. I guess my gamer tag is iSpartacat. If you want to add me as well, we can play the Halos.
To Halos?
We can play all the Halos. All to Halos.
Yay! All to Halos.
All the Halos all the time!
Exactly. You guys got it right.
Also, make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a conglomerate of gaming specific shows, so we are part of a network that includes Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, and The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, along with a couple other ones. You can check them out over at podk8.st. let them know that we sent you. If you're looking for some podcasts just to kind of fill your time, or if you are interested in those games, then there's some good quality podcasts to check out and listen to. Definitely recommend going and checking them all out. We will see you guys next week. We'll cover another campaign mission. We'll do another multiplayer topic and cover some other stuff. And until then, hopefully we'll see you guys either Friday for Fragrant Fridays or our company events for Tuesday and Wednesday. And back next week on Thursday for the podcast. Thank you again, Kenny, for coming on out and giving us a little Ultimate Halo love. And for everyone listening at home.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. I hope to have you back on again. It'd be pretty cool. For everyone else at home, thank you for listening. We will see you guys next time. Keep on fragging the last slice.